Hello, Stunt Granny audience, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 344. This is Kevin. On the other end is Chris. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing really good, Kevin. How about yourself?
It has been a busy evening bottling the next Stunt Granny beer. At our own illustrious Eric Nelson actually renamed it, which we're trying to go with more of a wrestling theme for all of the Stunt Granny beers from now forward. So some may get renamed, some may stick around, but... the Irish Whip made complete and utter sense, and I honestly didn't like the name that I came up with to start with. So, much happiness, I am fine. Plus, it's a new recipe to boot. So it's not like I couldn't rename it. It is not... It's not a clone of anyone's beer. It is it is a Stunt Granny original. So, yeah, looking forward to having that ready. Actually, today's the first. So, yeah, I guess I would be ready to actually try it on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, whoa, that's big news.
So that was the goal. I was just doing the math in my head. You usually let them, in the bottles for a couple of weeks before busting them out. So, and the other thing excited about Grolsch bottles now, in the, Stunt Granny, collection, those, will not be let out of my sight. I'm pretty excited about that. They look really nice. So yeah, that is, where things are, for me this evening. Last evening, I watched a whole lot of, Dean Ambrose on WWE TV.
Yes, Dean Ambrose was all over that show, a show that, due to his recent nasal surgery, Roman Reigns was not on, so they doubled down on Dean Ambrose, and they, you know, the people who believe that Dean Ambrose should be in the main event of WrestleMania instead of Roman Reigns, I think they got their opinions validated. I believe that Dean Ambrose looked like a star all night. He absolutely, you know, held his own, you know, in the verbal battle with Triple H. He just completely looked and talked and walked and acted and worked like a main event superstar.
Yeah, like, I guess I never had a problem with that aspect, to the Dean Ambrose situation. I just thought it was still more logical to have Roman Reigns in there. It was kind of funny. I don't think it would happen, but I forgot to, I was going to get a hold of him to see if he wants to do a drive-by. Jeremy mentioned to me earlier today having Dean Ambrose win the title against Triple H. You really could do that if you wanted to.
Yeah, you absolutely could. You could, you know, he could wrestle twice. They could, make it a triple threat with Triple H and Roman Reigns and move Brock somewhere else, such as Bray Wyatt. You could include Brock and make it a four-way. There's a number of things that you could absolutely do, you know, that gets the title on Dean Ambrose and does, but also doesn't necessarily kick Roman Reigns out of the main event or Triple H or anybody for that matter.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I thought, or that I said back to Jeremy, was just the fact that You know, I would think that if Dean Ambrose gets in there, just because of what he's done to piss off Brock Lesnar, he would certainly be in the picture somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think they're moving away from Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose. I don't know if I see them, you know, doing the thing where, you know, doing something where it's said that if Dean Ambrose wins the title, that, you know, his match with Brock then becomes a championship match, and then Triple H Roman Reigns match is not for the title. You could certainly do that. I mean, it's wrestling. You can make anything. You know, you could say that the contract for WrestleMania specifically stated that he would wrestle Triple H for the world title, not just get a world title shot against anybody. I mean, it's wrestling. You can just make crap up to work around the plot hole that Roman Reigns is guaranteed this championship match.
Right. Yeah, it would be interesting. I don't think it's going to be the case.
Yeah, no, it's fun to dream, it's fun to talk, but no, in the end, Dean Ambrose is eating a pedigree. You gotta be very sure about this. There's also the other end of this is, you know, that they want to make people stop wanting to see Dean Ambrose in the main event. So to do that, you kind of squash them like a bug. You know, there's people think that that's the, you know, that's the way this is gonna go. I'm thinking maybe there's more of a middle ground where Dean comes off looking strong, looking stronger in defeat, or you book a schmoz disqualification, because I know Brock is advertised for that show. Roman Reigns should be back for that show, so, you know, all those elements could get involved in this match. You know, maybe not necessarily a clean finish, but
right.
We'll see what happens. It's definitely as the show has been named. It's definitely a roadblock on the road to WrestleMania. We were in the fast lane, but now there's a roadblock.
Well, I think that's a smart plan on their part.
Yeah, absolutely.
To have something like it's not necessary to have a full-fledged pay-per-view in between, but to have just like a 2-hour special, if that, because they didn't really say how long it was going to be, did they?
Yeah, no, it'll probably be, you know, 2.5 hours long, probably, I'm sure, something along those lines.
Right, so I mean, you know, you can have a pretty decent card. There's 6 weeks, because that was kind of another funny thing, and now that I know that Jeremy is not going to make a run-in, I can go all through his opinions. What was that? Because we were talking about recording our per match podcast for WrestleMania. I mean, we still have 4 weeks. Next week, you know, was there 6 weeks in between the pay per view and WrestleMania?
Yeah,
Fastlane and WrestleMania.
WrestleMania. That's the thing. The calendar month of March had nothing. Had no hook for new subscribers, or for people wanting to take, you know, a month off of their subscription in between Fastlane and WrestleMania. There was, until now, there was nothing that really that was a great hook for network subscribers. And now they've got something.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a good plan. It's a good match to put on there. Triple H and Mr. Ambrose. It'll certainly draw some eyeballs. I probably will not be home on a Saturday night.
Look at Mr. out on the town here.
But the upside to the network, could still do something Sunday sometime about it.
Right.
So I mean, You know, even if you're not in, I guess I've at least gotten to using the network online a lot more.
Right.
Hence more NXT reviews to boot. Maybe tomorrow if Ken doesn't get back to me. Yeah, I mean, it's a good hook, like you said, for subscribers for March. And they have plenty of time in between both events that you can pull something off like this. Yeah. And have a decent card.
Yeah, absolutely. You absolutely do.
So, I guess there's nothing else to say, I don't think. Like, I mean, we both agreed that we don't think Ambrose is going to win. I completely agree with you that he's going to... I mean, he's already had a good showing. And like you said, like, anyone who... I don't really blame anyone, I guess, if that's the word to use, for wanting Dean Ambrose in the main event. Because, I mean, you said it, he validated himself. And I mean, I think that he has another week of hype to go through with this. And then he's going to have to compete with Paul Heyman, too, on the mic, which is not going to be, a chore either. And I think he's up for the task.
Yeah, he absolutely is. I mean, I guess if I've got any concerns, is he loses this match, but he already lost the match, and he loses to Brock at WrestleMania. It's, you know, guys have gotten over being that guy who just takes an ass kicking and keeps getting back up. Mick Foley, obviously, the best example, but to lose three big matches in 6 weeks, that's kind of rough. So I'd be interested to see how they do this if Ambrose, you know, does have, you know, lose to Triple H via pinfall and then goes to WrestleMania and likely gets beat by Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I would be pretty surprised to see Brock Lesnar take the L in that one. Right. The mystique that they've built for him, they can't have Ambrose beat him until he is definitely the man. I guess that's the other reason why it wasn't a big proponent for having Ambrose in there. I mean, they seem to have always found a spot for him. Because even after they kind of, everyone broke up, Ambrose had a couple of just backstage segments that were nothing segments. But, I mean, it was still on TV. Like, there are so many people that don't get that kind of, mic time. That, there are some people that could use less of it, honestly.
Right.
And I don't think Ambrose is there yet, but, I feel like they've always been high, the WWE has always been high on him. It's just more of a matter of time thing than, Roman Reigns kind of has more of the look. Like, I guess Ambrose doesn't really have, I mean, he definitely has cut out an image for himself.
But, yeah, absolutely. Yes.
But I think to go back to your, wasn't it your example last week about the ladies coming because of Roman Reigns?
Yeah. I mean, I see where, you know, what they want. They want the next Cena at the very least, if not the next Rock or Austin, which is probably not which I don't see on the horizon. But you know, they want the next Cena. As Cena's getting older, he's not around as much. They're not as comfortable, you know, focusing on him so heavily. You need to keep that audience and bring a new audience in. Yeah, from the kids, from the women. So, and they see Roman Reigns as that guy, and they'll make their chance. They'll make their signs, and you know, and be, I guess, something of a nuisance. But at the end of the day, you're still getting their money.
Right.
Like the fan who shows up to a football game wearing a paper bag, you still paid for that damn seat.
Yep, you've made something of a statement, but yeah, you have shucked out an awful lot of money. what the? Okay, well then that really does cover. I think Ambrose. Just because of the time frame, I really don't have a problem, like, just in general, of people having weeks off from confrontations. The Roman Reigns thing, to me, not necessarily a bad thing. Like, we've kind of established, you know, why they should dislike each other. You know, taking a week or two off is not going to be a bad thing for their feud.
No, not at all, and not for what they want from Roman Reigns. If we don't see Roman Reigns again until the week after next, I think that would be perfectly fine. Especially since, Triple H and Ambrose are probably going to get a lot of the focus of next Monday's Raw. So yeah, if you keep Reigns out of the mix, again, booking Roman Reigns in the run-up to WrestleMania is tricky with the crowd reactions, but if you take him out of the picture for a week or two, I think people are a little more happy to see the guy when he actually shows up again.
That and they're definitely Triple H is doing everything he can to heal it up, in my opinion. Like, if you do think that Dean Ambrose is the number one baby face in the company, him, Triple H beating down Ambrose should garner some heat. So, I mean, that has a chance to set in too. I mean, I feel like he already was setting on this path, just even with the attack on Reigns himself. But you know, yeah, he's definitely pointing in a direction. So yeah. Yeah, so Roman Reigns being out, I think it could be a double plus. We'll see. I mean, I still think that it's going to be a mixed reaction for him. You know,
At best, it'll be a mixed reaction.
yeah, so I mean, you know, and I think your example of Cena is fine. Like, I think in general the fans are going to be more fractured for rooting lines just moving forward.
Yeah, it's just the way it is. As crowds get quote unquote smarter, it's just the way it is. It's the way it is with the internet now, with Twitter, Facebook, and everything. People, the masses have access to, insider knowledge and things of that nature. It's just the nature of the beast of what wrestling is, and crowds who think that who have been able to quote unquote again hijack shows. It's once again, as long as you have their money, so what?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's good to follow along, but sometimes it isn't. And those guys are on the peripheral of the situation. I'm trying to think. Well, okay. The next biggest thing, I suppose, if we want to go in some type of descending order, was the fact that would you love to have been flown into Nashville to do a 2-minute-long entrance, a 30-second-long promo, and then a 2-minute exit?
I would gladly accept that assignment.
Oh man, The Undertaker, he got paid for a whole lot of crypticness.
Not a lot of explanation of his motivations, except that it's WrestleMania, it's Hell in a Cell, this is what he does.
I think it's a pretty accurate description.
It's exactly what it is. I mean, I thought that maybe they were going to have him be more conflicted about it, or, angry with Vince, especially when Vince was referring to him as his instrument of destruction. Like, I thought that there would be more of a, maybe a refusal of Undertaker to even do this, and then McMahon has to drop the, a retirement stipulation bomb on him to give him his motivation to fight. But no, I mean, this is it's WrestleMania, and even though he's got that one loss, his one loss record at WrestleMania still matters to him, and this is his assignment, and he's gonna hurt Shane.
And I mean, if I would be fine if he verbalized that. But again, it's another one where they have time. Like, he doesn't do long sound bits anyway. They can explain that in a video package or, a voiceover package, which seems to be his preferred promo recently.
I mean, I know, I think 2 weeks in Pittsburgh on the 14th, both Undertaker and Shane are advertised to be there, so that'll be their first face-to-face confrontation since the match was made. So I think we'll get some, probably get some more answers there, and some, what have you, more explanation, and well, I guess we understand everyone's motivations, really, except Undertaker's. And I guess we accept the thought that, hey, this is his match at WrestleMania. He's not gonna lay down at WrestleMania, or maybe he will, but they're not gonna throw that into consideration. He's coming to win against whoever is put in front of him. That's all Undertaker's motivation is, then I guess that's fine.
And then that was another thing. I know that there's still the possibility that Shane McMahon gets out of the match itself, but I'll tell you what, I don't think that's the case.
No. They are not indicating that at all. I mean, Shane is, I guess you've seen some of the videos that he's been putting out there about training with MMA coaches, and he's taking this very, very seriously.
The only video I saw was the ridiculous one of him doing a capoeira kick, and I was just like, okay, do you really think that this is going to be all that effective against The Undertaker? To do a handstand and then kick him in the face. Like, I can think of better things. But if he's done more videos than that, I might have to watch those just for my own perverse enjoyment. Like, that is definitely some I don't know if it's hate watching because it's kind of ridiculous, so I enjoy the ridiculous part of it.
I'm pretty sure at this point. This match is set in stone now. It's gonna happen. I guess the question is still remain of, how long is Shane McMahon actually back for? Is it just for this run? Then Undertaker wins, and then or or is he back to take over as the authority figure on Monday Night Raw, and he's gonna win this match somehow. Undertaker being the instrument of the heel owner is it's a strange dynamic, absolutely.
Well, yeah, and I was wondering if Vince was foreshadowing some Linda involvement, because we have not seen her in a long time.
No, we have not. We have not seen her in a long time, and it has been a pretty glorious long time that we have not been graced with a Linda McMahon appearance. But I you know, yeah, I mean, yeah, there definitely was some possible foreshadowing there. I mean, I don't, maybe not on that one. I mean, she is trying to be a serious, you know, figure in the Republican Party, so I think that I could hope that her days of attempted performances on TV are over, but yeah, they definitely there's the openings there for her to show up.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's just, well, yeah, this week didn't do anything, because there was no Shane McMahon, and, you know, as we already noted, Taker didn't really have a long promo, so, I mean, they've got the time to flesh out this, this feud, but it'll be, it's definitely still interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Next, you know, 4 weeks of build up to how they're going to execute the match itself and the finish and the aftermath. Yeah, everything is right now. People are very, very, very happy to see Shane back. There were Shane O'Mac chants all night last night in, you know, in Nashville. He'll be cheered huge in Chicago next week, and then the interesting one, I guess, is going to be next week when him and Undertaker actually come face to face. And once again, Undertaker is kind of positioned as a heel in this scenario. So does Shane actually get more cheers than the Undertaker?
Well, the Undertaker, I would have to say he's kind of gotten at least some boos against Brock Lesnar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got a guy in the nuts will do that to you.
Oh, man. Yeah, as it should get you, you know, some boos. Why did that? That completely threw me off. because there's Shane, Taker, oh man, yeah, I completely am pooping the bed right now.
There wasn't a lot of forward movement on anyone else's storylines other than the Divas, which is Charlotte with Sasha and Becky, which is pretty obviously leading to a triple threat match.
Yeah, I wish they had not gone with the dreaded NXT, double pinfall finish.
Especially that one. What knocked Sasha Banks out on her back? I'm not sure at all. It was just so contrived.
Was it at the top? It wasn't the top rope dropkick, was it?
No. She went for a sunset flip into a powerbomb. She landed perfectly square on her, square on her bottom, and but then just laid down on her back as if she was knocked unconscious by something. I'm really, it's not sure exactly. And of course, the idiot announcers don't explain anything. Don't say that she knocked wind out of her or anything of that nature. They don't do any interviews or anything about what happened. So we get this really contrived bat.
Yeah, so again, I guess, this is just getting to be an all too familiar thing, honestly, with the Divas. It's like they continue to back into doing the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure, once again, I'm sure the Madhouse SmackDown is going to be something similar, and then hopefully, as much as I enjoy watching Sasha and Becky wrestle each other, I hope they don't do a third match with a contrived finish on Raw Monday.
Yeah, that's the other reason why I've been annoyed on both shows, that it's just like, just go with the interference angle. Like, I know that or maybe the heel should actually own up to the fact that, like, oh, I've kind of learned from past people not to do this.
Right.
Because it's always such an obvious thing, or even just have them brawling on the outside, they both get knocked out for some reason. You know, there's other ways of doing this without a double pinfall draw.
Yeah, I can't stand double pinfalls. It's like, why were you, ref, why were you counting in the first place if both shoulders were down? At that point, you should be doing a standing 10 count. Look at the rules of wrestling. I got it.
Right. Yeah. They. Yeah. It's again, like, it's maddening that they keep on backing into this stuff. But I'm excited about a three-way match with the NXT ladies. They have certainly kept everyone else out of the mix. So, yeah. That's good news.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that's good news. Like, I mean, yeah. If the only other option is just a one-on-one match with one of the two, but having that type of finish, again, just kind of reinforces the idea that it's going to be a three-way.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a three-way, and then maybe they're going to do something with the other girls, and the out of nowhere beginning of a feud between Brie Bella and Lana.
Yeah, and that could lead to some type of Divas tag match.
Yeah, they could do something like that. Yeah, something to get all the rest of the girls on the show. Yeah, not much to really say about that.
No,
just thought I'd bring it up.
It was there. It was really strange, just because Lana hasn't even been with Rusev at all, to see her pop up.
Yeah,
the last time I remember seeing her was the segment when The Rock came in.
That was the last time they did anything with her. Well, she was going to have her first match before she hurt herself. She injured her wrist months ago, and
right,
looks like she's ready to finally get in the ring. So, guess we'll see what she's got to offer.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, just because she hasn't been in NXT at all, so there's no gawking to see how she is. It's going to be a low card match, so who really cares, I guess.
Right, it might end up on the pre-show, yes.
Yep, that's why I'm going to need to get to AT&T Stadium at 5 p.m. just to watch the Divas Battle Royal, or the Divas 8-woman tag match to start the show off.
Right. Yeah.
Lucky me. Well, you did bring him up a little bit earlier. And I guess the WWE doesn't tend to set the lower card matches until a little bit later, in the WrestleMania hype. But it's still a little surprising to me that we went from speculating that Bray Wyatt was going to have a match with Brock Lesnar to him not really having anything of a prominent role. And, like, I don't even know where they put those guys on the card after...
I mean, you could always just throw Strowman, Harper, and Rowan into the Andre Battle Royal, but that seems so below Bray Wyatt. You know, Bray has been, you know, Brett with the other three as his, you know, goon squad, as his cult family. They've been in the mix, but Bray Wyatt, you know. He wrestled John Cena 2 years ago. He wrestled The Undertaker last year at WrestleMania to, I don't know what. They just throw him in the Andre Battle Royal too. That seems very beneath him, but I don't see anything else. There's no one available that he hasn't already feuded with. And they've made the decision to go with Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose, which is the right call. And, yeah, there just doesn't seem to be anything for Bray Wyatt to have a singles match.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy, but I agree in general. Like, there isn't really anyone out there. I mean, he's feuded with Ziggler. Ryback has gone heel. Big Show isn't worth his time.
Big Show's gonna be in the Battle
Royal. Oh, right.
That's his lot. That's his lot in life at WrestleMania until the day he retires.
Just one of these years, I want to win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Hey, he won last year, actually.
Yeah, I know.
He's got to defend his title. He's got to repeat.
Yeah. He needs to have his WrestleMania moment again. I don't even know how I go about approaching my former boy, Dolph Ziggler. And The Miz. Like, are there two guys on the roster that have been higher and have fallen further and are just kind of rock bottom at this point?
Well, Miz, no one has fallen further than The Miz. That's that's a contest he is going to. I mean, unless you were a world champion and then ended up out of the company just within a year later, you know, just completely, you know, washed out in that way, whether it was drug abuse or what have you, or problems with management. So I can't think of anyone off the top of my head about in that regard. There have been people like that. But yeah, as a 5-year downhill slide from the main event of WrestleMania, yeah. No one compares to The Miz.
This is true. The Ziggler stuff has been more hype than actual substance.
Right.
And no matter whether The Miz was the background of the Rock and John Cena feud part one.
Right.
He's still, because how many months, I mean, he had that title for a few months.
He was champion for about 5 months. Wait, because he retained. That's something people forget, he retained against John Cena, because Rock interfered.
Right.
So he held it an additional month before Cena got it back. So, yeah, that would put in, if he won it in November, lost it in April or early May, that'd put him out at about 6 months. Or wait, December. About 5 months.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's still a really nice run. So yeah,
I mean, the only person he beat clean was Jerry Lawler, but they had a good feud.
Yeah, I mean, they, what the, wow, I guess I can't believe it was that long, but that does make some sense.
Yeah, I mean, I had to remind myself that he retained at WrestleMania, and they carried it over another month. To Extreme Rules that year, before Cena won the title back.
Yeah, I do remember that one, as it was one of my attendance WrestleManias. Because it's just easy to get down to Atlanta, although, man, I hope Dallas doesn't suck as much as Atlanta does. Because I know New Orleans blows Atlanta out of the water. Anyway, we'll talk about travel plans later when Jeremy and I are talking about which breweries we're going to hit after every
you guys
every preview.
Yeah, see how it is.
Okay. Yeah, the Miz's fall was worse, I guess, because now realizing how long his title reign was. Because Ziggler never had it for that long. Like, he might have had it for that long had he not been kicked in the head by Jack Swagger.
Ziggler had that moment. That moment that people, that wrestlers dream of. He had, you know, one of the great moments of the... of all time, really. You know, the night after WrestleMania, that crowd reaction, everything, perfect storm, and then kicked in the head by Jack Swagger, and it's all gone. You know, he's won the Intercontinental title, won the U.S. title in that time. It looked like sometime, you know, late 2014, after the Survivor Series, that they were going to give him a push, but then that, once again, that was another thing that kind of, you know, the start and stop pushes for Ziggler stopped again, and he really since then hasn't. You know, it's been up down, but he's been kind of down and then kind of even feel just steady for the last year.
Yeah, I mean it was wild. Like I thought for sure after he kicked the Authority out of Power. That he would have something more to bite into, but that was certainly not the case at all.
No, not at all. No,
it's just been a little bit of a slow, it has been a little bit slower of a slide for him since it's only been about a couple of years.
Right, yeah. in the promo that they showed between Ziggler and Miz, Ziggler did reference the Intercontinental title, so I guess the Intercontinental title is in play for the two of them, and maybe once again the big multi-man ladder match could be in play for Intercontinental title WrestleMania. It's very possible.
Right. Yeah, I mean that's about all there is to say about them. I guess that the other reason why maybe I didn't think Ziggler had slid as far is that I assumed his victory on Raw this Monday, and then when the Miz won, I was like, "What the fuck?"
that was definitely a what the fuck moment. and then they're gonna. I guess they're going to be kind of feuding with each other going into this season. Not 100% sure where it's all leading, because once again, I mean, Kevin Owens has been an afterthought this last week since Fastlane. He's been messing around with Big Show, doing groin-related countouts. I don't think that's leading anywhere, since Big Show is pretty much destined for the Battle Royal.
Right.
So yeah, you've got, you know, the moving on to the, so you don't have a lot, you know, real, a lot of directions past the Divas. I mean, you got Jericho and AJ going for the tag team titles, but the New Day continuing to poke fun at the League of Nations, so that's obviously going to lead somewhere. And of course, Jericho and AJ are getting their title shot next week on Raw instead of at WrestleMania, so, and they already got their clean win over the New Day, so I can see some miscommunication, misdirection leading to Jericho and AJ busting up. Maybe that'll be a one-on-one match again.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I immediately became afraid of that option when I saw the match was going to be on Raw.
Yeah.
Because not that I haven't enjoyed those matches, but I mean, I think everyone's pretty much noted it at this point that Jericho is slow by about a step these days.
Right.
I mean, I think that his promos have upped in quality since they at least gave him some direction here recently for his character to actually get behind. I guess I don't want to see another singles match with him and AJ. Like, I guess that's why I had already, like, when they kind of teamed them up, I'm like, yeah, this would really work as a New Day tag team match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, you know, it would have worked. A lot of people were kind of crossing their fingers for, you know, if they were to do AJ Styles against Kevin Owens at WrestleMania, which would have been really good. Still, once again, still got time. It still could be the direction. Still, again, everything is open on that undercard right now.
Yeah.
There's just no real solid direction for anything other than there's going to continue to be tension with Jericho and AJ. That's doesn't necessarily mean a one-on-one match between them. No, but that's a possibility.
Right, and I guess I feel like at this juncture, I felt like they tended to start to resolve those since they are, is it a month out now? Yeah, it's a month out.
It's a month from Thursday, but yeah, about a month.
Yeah, so, well, four more Raws, right? Okay, well, I guess then I should hold off a week until I say that it's a little bit late for them to be getting to them, because they set the big three the first week, or the first Raw, which they did quite well last week, and they're still kind of setting the pieces up this week. So next week we should start to see some direction for where that's going to go. And that's why it just kind of makes it hard to talk about this show in some ways, because there were just the big moments.
Yeah. This show was just it was a few big moments. That's a good way to put it. I mean, I like the Jericho AJ Styles New Day match. It was the best match on the show, but it's leading to something for next week that's gonna, you know, I guess set up whatever going to happen at WrestleMania for those five, and not be the actual WrestleMania match. So again, really until next week, and really until after, even after Toronto, I mean, on the 12th. Right now, as we were talking about earlier, even the main event situation it could potentially be blown up.
Oh. yeah, it's kind of interesting. I guess, because what did, I think you made a comment on the one message board about, a pay-per-view looking underwhelming on paper but turning out well in person. I don't know if I've thought that on paper last year's WrestleMania looked bad. I think it was just the hype going into it. Like, I guess I've already been a little more, my interest has been piqued a little bit. Just the weirdness of Shane coming back.
Right.
You know, that's one of those things that you can't do that every year.
No, no, no.
So, I mean, this is kind of a one-time thing, and I mean, it's nice, but, you know, it's not really repeatable. So yeah, I mean, but I guess I already like the setup to WrestleMania already a little bit better than I did last year.
I agree with. They've done a better job with the top, making the top matches feel important.
Yeah, so I guess it'll be interesting to see where they go from here. I guess we did reference it a little bit earlier. Is there anything about NXT that we need to cover that we could fill up the airwaves with?
No. Once again, they're on the way to their big show that. For all intents and purposes, looks like it's going to be better than a better show than WrestleMania. How's that ticket situation? Are these secondary market prices getting to the point where you're thinking about selling?
You know what? I haven't checked those.
Jeremy has.
And it's kind of funny because I kind of forgot about this theory for a while, because the WWE got in a rut there where I always looked at a pay-per-view card, and when I saw that it was good, I always ended up thinking that the pay-per-view sucked. And then when I looked at an underwhelming card, I'm like, oh, screw that, I'm not going to watch. And then I hear everyone going, oh, that was a great pay-per-view. And I'm like, son of a bitch. Like, how do I always get this wrong? So, I mean, I hope that with the NXT, it is not one of those latter things where it looks good on paper and then you watch it and you're just like, oh man, this did not go well.
Right. Now, with the talent on this card, I don't think that it will. It's out there. I mean, the card is out there. I don't think we should pretend that, you know.
Well, yeah, I know that I've read it, but I really don't remember too much outside of, and spoiler alert, if you haven't read this, I suppose we could say that, because
you can say that, yes.
You can miss the last few minutes, the last 5 minutes of the show here.
That's fair.
But Finn Balor against Samoa Joe, I remember. Sami Zayn against Shinsuke Nakamura. And I honestly don't even remember who Bayley's fighting.
She's taking on Asuka. That should really be quite the women's match. That will be certainly something to watch. Bayley is going to get kicked really, really hard. It's going to be interesting, because Asuka's very popular with the NXT crowd, but when she starts laying in those kicks on the submission moves on Bayley, once again, Bayley has this just, you know, from another era level of, you know, sympathy with the audience, you know, and it just feels her pain along with her. It really is it's really something special. I'm not being facetious at all. It really is.
It is something different. It is kind of... They have a lot of there's a lot more old school stuff gimmick wise on there than anything that's called old school on Raw or SmackDown.
Right. So yeah, I mean,
yeah, it'll be kind of interesting too, just because I don't feel like I've seen Asuka in like a competitive match. Maybe is that a good way of putting it?
Her match with Emma from the UK show back in December. That was actually really rude. That was she was dominant, but you know Emma got in quite a bit of offense too. I mean,
okay. Well, I think when I started doing the reviews is when I consistently started watching NXT on Wednesday nights here. So I think I, because was that a takeover, or
was that
huh?
Yeah, that was the one that was on a Wednesday in the afternoon, live in the afternoon.
Oh. Oh man, yeah. Well, that might have been one reason why I didn't watch it initially, but I do feel like I've had problems in the past already talking about that London NXT, because I feel like I only remember parts of it for some reason or another. I don't know. I guess I really, well, now watching it more consistently, maybe that's a big part of it, is that I feel invested in it a little bit differently, and I've really liked the way, like, Asuka just has a different kind of offense about her.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So very, very different, very, once again, Japanese strong style, but not as much with picking up people and dropping them on their heads type stuff. Stiff kicks stiff kicks and slaps and chops and things of that nature. So and really, some really cool submissions. She's so yeah. I think her and Bayley have the potential to have a really, really good. Almost everything on this upcoming takeover has the potential to be really, really good. I don't think there's a bad match on there. Although Austin Aries versus Baron Corbin might be something of a styles clash, but I know Corbin's improved and Aries is good, so they should be able to make something of that. Although, of course, that's an angle that hasn't even been shot yet. It's one of those things that would be. It's a spoiler alert about.
Well, I gave it 5 minutes here, and we're only on minute four.
Oh, okay. Really? That was only a minute? Oh, minute four left, you mean. Okay.
about a minute. Because I feel like I said it around the 53-minute mark. But I honestly, like, I had only remembered those two matches. So even talking about the ladies match and Corbin Aries, those are things that I forgot, honestly. Right. But yeah, does that about do it though?
Yeah, I think it does. I think there's not much, left to talk about.
Okie dokie. Well, after bottling beer, I was drinking some Born on Mars IPA from Stunt Granny Brewing. I do like a name that Eric came up with. The next pale ale that I do, I thought that this was an obvious name. I don't think he had a good IPA name. Pale ale, he said pile driver pale ale, and I'm like, oh, well, that was stupid. That was an easy one to come up with too.
Yeah, that would be not a bad one. Not a bad idea at all. We might have to check and make sure no one else has used that, but.
Yeah. So.
Seems obvious.
Yeah, it does.
Not too bad.
So yeah, Born on Mars IPA, we will see if it's renamed, we'll see if it gets a little spruce up, when I brew it again. So yeah, I think that's all. Oh, at DeFrango 11, at Chris Calamita, at Stunt Granny. You have a good night, grandkids.